Now to the United States, where the House of Representatives took a step closer to impeaching President Donald Trump yesterday, as Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the charges will be filed for alleged abuse of power. It is effectively the green light for a full-scale trial to take place. On the line now, Larry Donnelly, lecturer in law at NUI Galway, and Errol Morcoach, chief strategist with Republicans Overseas. Larry, can you explain where we're at now in this process at the moment? It was yesterday very definitely a step potentially towards impeachment.
Yeah, I think yesterday confirmed what we've all expected for some time. That is, the Democrats have come down this road so far, they really couldn't turn back now. So formally, we know that there is going to be an impeachment process, that there's going to be a vote, that articles of impeachment are going to be drawn up by the Judiciary Committee, that those articles of impeachment are likely to be voted in the affirmative by the Judiciary Committee, again, which is controlled by Democrats. Then it will proceed to a vote with the entire House of Representatives, probably before Christmas. And again, that's likely to succeed given that Democrats control the House of Representatives. So we're in full-on impeachment mode now. But again, in my view, we see nothing that will change the ultimate outcome here. That is, it's highly, highly unlikely that the president will ultimately be removed from office by the Senate.
And Errol, just to quote from what some of what Nancy Pelosi had to say, Mr. Trump, she says, had engaged on misconduct on a historic scale. The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and a crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for the announcement of an investigation into his political rival. Strong case there, it would appear.
Well, that's how she would love to spin it, but the reality is that Nancy Pelosi is living in fear of her own party that has gone well off the left-wing deep end. When the law enforcers end up becoming the lawbreakers and the rule of law is upended, nobody is safe. This has been, in our view, an entirely one-sided sham process. The Democrat Party, led by Chairman Schiff, have, in our opinion, and the opinion of the majority of Americans, utterly failed to produce any evidence of wrongdoing by the president. The report represents nothing more than those frustrations. The White House themselves had said that it reads like paranoid ramblings. But to go on further, you know, the whistleblower had no firsthand knowledge. Joe Biden isn't a protected species, declaring himself a candidate. And the president, most importantly, has executive authority and fiduciary responsibility to the U.S. taxpayers to ensure corruption like that we suspect has gone on with Joe Biden and his son involving Burisma. Now, they've been trying to undo the election since day one. So we welcome a Senate trial, furthermore, to get the Supreme Court involved. There's a separation of powers in the United States of America, not a domination of Adam Schiff of the entire political system. So we hear what she has to say, and we just see somebody who's terrified, horrified, mortified, petrified, stupefied in a box, and she can't turn around and go back. She's gone too far off the deep end, and now the Democrat Party is stuck with a impeachment hearing that they're going to have to conduct and execute, and the ramifications of that on their party is going to be one of the most disastrous decisions in their party's history, because it's not going to get through the Senate. There's no chance of an actual removal of office, and Trump's base is going to be galvanized. So, you know, there's a lot of words out there, and what we hear is just fear.
That's the point, isn't it, Larry Donnelly? Again, one of the lines that Donald Trump came out with in his Twitter account yesterday, or his Twitter feed, was the Republicans have never been more united. We will win.
I think that's absolutely true, and if I can agree with my counterpart here, I can agree with him on the politics while vehemently disagreeing with him on the law. I think that there's a very, very clear abuse of power here by the president. I think it's absolutely manifest from everything that we've heard. And Republicans are asking us, I suppose, to dance on the head of several pins at one time. And I think it's important to note that there's both direct evidence, and we do have some direct evidence in this instance, but there's also circumstantial evidence, and all of that evidence points inexorably in one direction. And I believe that Trump has committed an impeachable offense. That all having been said, politics at the end of the day, and impeachment is inherently a political process. I believe that the Democrats have made a mistake here. I think that it would have been much more appropriate for them to seek a motion of censure rather than to launch into full-scale impeachment proceedings. The reason I say that is because now Republicans can say effectively that what the president might have done wasn't right, but it doesn't rise to the level of an impeachable offense. If they, on the other hand, had gone for a censure motion, then Republicans would be in the position of, if they voted against it, they'd be saying effectively, we believe the president's conduct and behavior was okay. It was perfectly fine. And I think that would have some fallout for them with the American people, who, again, are going to vote ultimately on the economy and other issues, and who, and for whom might be dismayed that the Democrats have launched into this process, and again, when he's unlikely to be removed from office. But if Republicans had approved tacitly of what he did by voting against the censure motion, I think that could have rebounded on them. But Pelosi has gone down this road. I think Democrats have to see it through. But again, I agree in terms of the outcome. The outcome is going to be impeachment of the House and acquittal by the Senate.
But coming back to you, Errol, there was a fairly strong contention by Donald Trump's ambassador to the European Union, Ambassador Sondland, that there was a clear indication that this approach was to be taken, making aid and the White House meeting conditional on the investigation into Hunter Biden. Okay, there wasn't a handwritten note saying, would you do this illegal thing? Nobody would be stupid enough to write that down. But it's the old idea, I suppose, of plausible deniability, an American concept promoted or created by the CIA to separate themselves from a president.
Well, I mean, there's certainly a fair point there. Ambassador Sondland, we have to keep in mind, is a highly successful multi-millionaire. And he's a big Republican donor, and obviously somebody like him coming out carried a lot of gravitas with his statements. Now, he was very careful how he testified and how he chose his words. He specifically gave himself the plausible deniability when he remembered something a couple days after conveniently forgetting it. But I would like to stress that everybody on our side of this aisle looks at this in the sense that Donald Trump obviously wanted, along with all of his constituents and a lot of the Republican Party, wanted the corrupt behaviors that we saw that we thought were happening in the Ukraine to be investigated. And obviously, he couldn't write on a note, do that. So quid pro quo, it does involve a direct connection. So was it illegal to want something? And does somebody have the First Amendment rights because they're president? I mean, no, it's not illegal to want something. It's illegal to directly ask for it. By specifically not asking for it, the argument can be made that, oh, well, by not asking for it, he was really wink, wink, nudge, nudge, asking for it. But that's going to be a really tough thing to prove in the court of law. Moreover, as I had said, the U.S. taxpayer has, you know, fiduciary responsibilities. He has refused fiduciary responsibility to the U.S. taxpayer. So the way we saw that was, of course we wanted Joe Biden invited. Could we ask for it? No. President Zelensky himself has come out, and I mean, direct quote, there was no, never talk to the president from a position of quid pro quo. That's not my thing. And every single person who testified that they were specifically not directed to do it. But everybody, including, you know, the janitor on the street, knew that Donald Trump wanted Joe Biden to be investigated. So it's a very tough thing when, if you want something, and you can't ask for it, and then you're being prosecuted based on the obvious fact that you want it. And moreover, if what has happened with Joe Biden's son, considering these $83,000 or $6,000 a month deals to be on the Board of Energy, I mean, that's selling influence more than anybody. Could you imagine if that was Trump's son
Indeed.
Who was out there getting that? I mean, the media would be all over it. So I do understand how that's being portrayed, but everybody was very careful and chose their words in that sort of plausible deniability that you mentioned. Because
okay.
obviously, we all know Trump did want it, but he didn't ask for it directly. So that sort of is kind of breaks the legal hold they would have on it.
Right, we'll leave it there. My thanks to you both. Errol Morcoach, Chief Strategist for Republicans Overseas, and my thanks to you as well, Larry Donnelly, Law Lecturer at NUI Galway.